From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Melanie Lekasubic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. A virtual forum held by the Coxsackie Athens School District March 3rd was the setting for a heated dispute over the question of whether the district should retire its mascot name, the Indians. Board member Tara Batchner opened the meeting on behalf of the district's liaison committee, encouraging public input on the question. Batchner said the committee is, and I quote, in the information gathering stage, and this forum is part of those efforts to help the board make a decision, end quote. In addition to the forum, the district is also conducting an online survey at its website that will close at 4 p.m. Friday, March 5th. Shelley West, a district parent, teacher, and alumnus, spoke in opposition to the change. West said, and I quote, to many of us in the community, the Indian represents pride, strength, and respect, and we feel that we are honoring the Indian and Native Americans by using that symbol to represent us, end quote. She added, and I quote, spending tax dollars on something that is not broken is unfathomable to me. There are so many other things that money could be used for, end quote. Others spoke in favor of making the change, arguing it is derogatory to Native Americans and should be changed. Athens resident Anthony Patsky wrote in a letter to the forum, and I quote, times are changing and hopefully a more enlightened society will now realize that words, deeds, and actions by the dominant population can be used to stereotype minority groups, end quote. Patsky noted that caricatures and stereotypes are harmful to minority populations. The district had the opportunity 20 years ago to change the mascot after being asked to do so by the state education department, according to Patsky. He said the district declined to retire the mascot at that time. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Chris Bragg is reporting for the Times Union. A report recently released by State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli's office has found the State Office for People with Developmental Disabilities has made limited progress in complying with a 2007 law intended to protect residents of group homes in New York. The follow-up report follows a 2019 audit from the office detailing the agency's problems with following the law. The Office for People with Developmental Disabilities, the state agency responsible for overseeing group homes for the disabled, has implemented one of three recommendations made by the auditors 2 years ago, while two others were not implemented. The 2019 audit found the agency had not enacted policies to ensure that families are insured access to records reporting incidents of abuse or neglect. The 2007 law also requires centers to disclose those incidents to family members within 24 hours after they are reported. In 2019, Comptroller's Office auditors reviewed records for 295 incidents at six facilities overseen by OPWDD over a four-year period beginning in April 2015. They found that in 11% of the cases, facilities could not provide evidence that they notified family members or guardians less than a day after an incident was reported. The law requires that facility directors release a report 10 days after an incident detailing what steps a center took to address the issue. But in 7% of the incidents reviewed, that did not happen. And facilities did not provide incident reports to family members within 21 days of their request for documents as required by law. According to the 2019 audit, 20 of the 63 record requests evaluated were not distributed on time or at all. In its response, the agency said it implemented the changes identified in its original response to the comptroller's audit, but, and I quote, having disagreed, end quote, with part of the comptroller's recommendations, the agency instead implemented a new training and quality improvement program of its own. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The public hearing on the proposed Blackthorn Resort campsite expansion in Durham will continue March 9th. The Blackthorn hopes to add 30 campsites to the property. The site plan has been under review by the town board since December, and a public hearing, which began on February 2nd, remains open. Nearby residents asked questions and voiced concerns about the project at the first public hearing in February. Neighbor Tom Lillis said he takes issue with people on ATVs trespassing on his property. He asked how the issue will be addressed with more campsites and more guests. Patrick Pendergast, the engineer representing Blackthorn, said he would speak to the owners about security. At a subsequent meeting, Town Supervisor Sean Marriott said ATVs are not permitted at the resort and advised that all complaints about ATVs be reported to law enforcement. Neighbor Aeneas Pekzak said she had privacy concerns, that with the new sites located so close to her property, it would mean lifestyle changes for her family and other residents. She added, and I quote, "There are kids and guests in the road, and it has become a safety issue," end quote. Marriott also indicated she had spoken with the owners about putting up a foliage barrier to help. In response to concerns about an increase in traffic, Marriott said there are no plans to expand the existing road. Local businesses, including Gavin's Irish Country Inn, McGrath's Edwards Falls, Lawyers General Store, and Michael D's Motel and Country Campsites, voiced support for the Blackthorn proposal. Other concerns mentioned during the hearing include worries about the impact on Bowery Creek and fire safety at the resort. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Emily Munson is reporting for the Times Union that Representative Paul Tonko, a Democrat who represents Albany County and other upstate areas, is now against the filibuster. That's the legislation rule that requires 60 votes to pass most legislation. Democrats currently control the Senate 51-50, and with the filibuster, Republicans can block most legislative action. Tonko said, and I quote, "It's important for us to really move forward and to improve this process so that the people's wishes and the people's needs are granted," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "Otherwise, what we have today is a legislative graveyard. This modern filibuster essentially gives minority leaders veto power in Congress, exactly what James Madison and Alexander Hamilton were writing about. The founders did not want this concept to take hold," end quote. But unless Democrats can change the minds of Senators Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kristen Sinema of Arizona, Democrats who have previously said they support the filibuster, it will stay the law of the land. New York Senator Chuck Schumer, now the majority leader, says he will do something but does not identify what that something will be. Schumer said March 2nd, and I quote, I believe my caucus believes that we need big, bold action, and we're going to figure out the best way to get big, bold action on a whole lot of fronts. We're not going to be the legislative graveyard," end quote. He added, and I quote, "Very simply, McConnell refused to put bills on the floor. I'm putting bills on the floor. People are going to be forced to vote on them, yes or no, on a whole lot of very important and serious issues," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.